Today on Real Radio.
There are people saying that something's a science and they're playing upon your ignorance. Science is something that can be studied, taken apart, looked at individually, reassembled, and reproduced or replicated over and over again. That is science. You want to have a doctor operating on you who is very disciplined to obey the sciences.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his timely series that addresses Bible prophecy. We've already seen what Scripture says about the instability in the Middle East. Now, one fact is that very little has changed for many thousands of years. Wars and conflicts have occurred in the region since the days of old. And here we are in the 21st century, and Israel and the followers of her Messiah are despised all over the world, so much so that Judeo-Christian faith and God's written word are under attack like never before. I'm sure you'd agree. But Jesus said to the Father, "Your word is truth." And it seems that the more attacks Scripture endures, the more it proves itself to be true. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates in a lesson called The 21st Century Christian.
Time, physical time, in our temporariness as humans, time's going to come to an end someday? And then eternity continues on. Eternity's always there. And in between eternity is our time zone, where you and I live. And the Bible says Jesus is the governor of all of it. You're Jesus. And that revelation comes, as I said, from the book of Isaiah nearly 3,000 years ago. That's a long time. And that's exactly what we understand. Listen, the 21st century Christian is to know God's word better than before. Look, by discovery. Discovery is to our advantage. What does the created universe have in common with the biblical prophecies of the Bible? You ought to ask yourself that question. What does the created universe? You see people say, "Oh, Bible prophecy doesn't matter to me." Stop. Think. What does the created universe around you, in fact, you yourself, and the solar system, for that matter, the cosmos, plural, the universes and universes, what do they have in common? You say, I can't even begin to think what they have in common. They both have the same argument as to who its creator is. In the Bible, the observable physical universe that you and I have contact with, and the one that is outside our influence, space and time, and Bible prophecy, it's the same God, and he speaks with perfect harmony regarding both these things. The same author. You wouldn't be surprised if you read a series of books and it sounded somewhat like it was coming from the same person, because it's the same author. God is the same author. That's important for us to understand, and I'll show you why in a moment. The God who says, the God of the Bible, who says, for example, Israel will become a nation again in one day, Bible prophecy. Notice, Israel will become a nation again in one day. That means Israel was once a nation, they will stop being a nation, and then they'll be a nation again, and it will happen not in a month, not in a week, not in a year, in one day. God, the same God that said that in the Old Testament also said this, watch this, because that's Bible prophecy what I said a moment ago. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay, listen, the same God who spoke that Bible prophecy speaks to our observable universe. How so? Leviticus 17:11. Hello? Leviticus 17:11. What are we going back? Thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. We're going back nearly 5,000 years ago. Here it is. Leviticus 17:11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul." Why? Because it is the life, the blood flow is the life of anything. The Bible says nearly 5,000 years ago that the foundation to sustain human life, and you say, what are you making this a big deal for? Everybody knows this. Listen, up until about 400 years ago, we didn't know that. The scientific world did not know that. They didn't even think of that. Did you know that? In fact, the last thing before we found out scientifically that Leviticus 17:11 was true was that scientists believed back in those days that air, because they noticed if you choke something, it died. And they said, well, then air, this, is what sustains life. And they believed that for years. And so they mistreated a lot of people's illnesses back in those days. And then science discovered what? It's not air, it's blood. It's blood. Guess what was waiting? The Bible was like this. Oh, you guys, come on. Must I take my time to see this happen? The Bible was waiting for science to catch up to what the Bible had already said. You ever think of that? Tell your kids that while they enter school. The Bible's waiting for true scientific discovery, not make-believe. A lot of make-believe going on. Listen, it's the same God who in Isaiah 40, 22 says, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Did you hear that? The circle of the earth. There are still religions preaching that the earth is flat. Did you know that? Google it. Religions that, not now, later. There are religions today that believe the earth is flat. Listen, Christopher Columbus was considered to be an idiot because he said it's got to be round and it's got to be a ball. Scientists before that great explorer said, you know what? In fact, there are scientists who are condemned by even the Catholic Church of old because they said, the world's got to be round and it's got to go around the sun. The sun doesn't go around the earth. And they said, you're going to jail for that. That's heresy. It was great science. And listen, the sources of their conclusion was the Bible. Did you know that? Go study that. Go look at that. God says, I sit on the circle of the earth. Well, what does science show us? Exactly that. It's the same God who says in Job 26, 7, he, God, stretches out the north over empty space, and he hangs the earth upon nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, Jack, why are you doing this? Because there are religions today, in fact, one of them is invading your child's classroom, and they don't want you to know this. But in their ancient writings, which is supposed to be from God, it says that the sun, for example, or the earth rides on the back of a turtle. Or that when the sun sets, it goes into a pool of mud or of goop. Did you know that? But it's being hidden from people. Why? Because it's false knowledge. It's not God. God says, listen, I hold all of this in the span of my hand. It's nearly, not actually, but nearly infinite, God says. It's a hint, though it be material. It seems to you on earth, it goes forever. And God says, I've done that. It's the same God who says in Job 38, 31, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades? Hello, ladies and gentlemen. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. Did you know that? Job, oldest book in the Bible. God says, hey, Job, I have a constellation. It's called the Pleiades. Look up Pleiades today. You'll go to a lot of NASA websites. Did you know that? How cool is that? Or loose the belt of Orion. You'll see Orion in the sky. Can you bring out Maseroth? That's Hebrew for the Babylonian corruption of Zodiac. God condemns the Zodiac. Why? Because the Zodiac took the Maseroth, the 12 constellations that preached the gospel, 12 constellations of the Maseroth, and the Zodiac twisted it and took it away from God in Babylonianism and corrupted it. That's what Satan does. He's really good at that stuff. For example, I'll give you one clue. The lion would come from the tribe of Judah. Babylonian soothsayers and astrologers took the Babylonian data when they captured Israel and the Hebrew children and converted their worship of Yahweh to Baal worship and said, no, we don't like this lion coming from the tribe of Judah stuff. We're going to call it Leo. And whatever you can find in the Zodiac is brought out from the source or the root of the Maseroth. And it's the gospel. The Bible infers that God has preached the gospel to the world and the stars, to the ancient world. The virgin, Virgo, the virgin's going to bring, and the celestial heavens, it's amazing because the bright and morning star, There are times in celestial history where the virgin constellation, which the world says Virgo, brings forth the bright and morning star. Interesting stuff. You can look at that stuff later. Zeiss is a great source to read that stuff. It's the same God. It's the same God who says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Isn't that awesome? Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. That verse speaks about the intricate details and the science of astronomy. God did that. All true science is aligned with Scripture. Did you know that? I want you to remember that. And you tell your young people in your life, all true, did you hear me? True science aligns with Scripture. Why? The same author. Be careful what is called science these days. There are people saying that something's a science, and they're playing upon your ignorance. Science is something that can be studied, taken apart, looked at individually, reassembled, and reproduced or replicated over and over again. That is science. You want to have a doctor operating on you who is very disciplined to obey the sciences. If he doesn't, he's going to be playing games with your body. He's going to be making stuff up. That's not science. Now look, I was feeling very ornery the other day when I put these notes together, and yet everything I'm going to tell you is true. It's just not politically correct. Are you sitting down? Here it is. All the true sciences align with Scripture. That's why the religion of evolution, that should have got your heart going. The religion of evolution doesn't agree with God. It's bad science and it's bad religion. You say, religion of evolution? Evolution's not proven. It's a conjecture, hello. Think about it. It's not, listen, there's no evidence it ever happened. It's not happening now. And the nail in the coffin is the fact that the DNA announces that things are written a certain way and they stay that certain way. And if there's any variance within the species, it's already found in the DNA. And there's not one fossil of a transitional form ever found in the history of man. Do you understand that? There's not a lizard with feathers. Or there's not a bird with a lizard tail. If this would have happened over millions of years, where's the evidence? It's not there. Do you believe in evolution? Listen, if someone says to you, I believe in evolution, that makes it a religion. So it's not a religion. I'm sorry, I thought you believed in it. Did you hear me? It's a belief system. It's a religion. In fact, as ornery as I felt, I wrote this down. Evolution is the religion of atheism. Atheism is the foundation of communism, and communism has killed more people in history than all other religions combined in their holy wars. Did you know that? Did you know that? When God is dead in the minds of men, men die. If there's no fear of God in a culture in their minds, then there's no regard for the quality of life, there's no regard for welfare of life, there's no regard for the unborn. Because there is no God in the thinking of people. Are you with me? Do you understand that? And listen, I want to say it again, and then you go research it. Take all the holy wars that you can study and put, and you'll get a number to it. Because, you know, people love to say, there's been more killing in the name of religion than anything else. Not true. Don't let them get away with it. Pol Pot, Mao, Hitler, Stalin, Marx. Stalin, 60 million of his own people. And now, look at Assad in Syria. 100,000 plus people in the last 22 months dead. Listen, it is amazing to think of the age in which we live in. Scientific discovery never, never undermines God. It always asserts and comes in alignment with the Word of God. And if you're having a hard time with this, I could spend a whole year talking about this issue. If you're having a hard time with this, think of this. How is it that when Sir Isaac Newton discovered the discoveries that he did, that he wound up writing Principia Mathematica, which is to this day the greatest writing on scientific discovery in the history of man? And you know what the conclusion of Isaac Newton's writings was? That all of his discoveries have led him to a greater worship of God and a greater faith in God. That's what real science does. You say, how does this have to do with prophecy? It has everything to do with prophecy. Because the God of science is the same one who authors Bible prophecy. And they're in absolute agreement with what's going on in the world around us. Listen to this. Again, I got this feeling ornery. And we're going to put this up on the slide. It's a statement from NASA, from the Goddard Space Center, Robert Jastrow. There is a strange ring of feeling and emotion in these reactions of scientists to evidence. By the way, this is not a Christian speaking. He's not a Christian. That the universe had a sudden beginning. These feelings come from the heart, whereas you would expect the judgments to come from the brain. Why? I think part of the reason is that scientists cannot bear the thought of a natural phenomenon which cannot be explained. Even with unlimited time and money, there's a kind of religion in science. For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the heights of the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he's greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. Robert Jastrow, Goddard Space Center, NASA. That is an amazing, and he's not a Christian. That's awesome. That's exciting. I love that. The more we probe, the more we search, the more we gain knowledge, the greater our understanding and revelation is of the Scripture. The third point under this consideration, the 21st century Christian is to know God's Word better than ever because theology is our strength. And let me explain what I mean by that, by theology. The true knowledge of God, really knowing Him, really studying Him, really finding out what makes Him move and what makes Him act and what makes Him think and what His heart is. You say, Jack, really? God, really? We can know Him? Look, if we can't know Him, let's just go to the beach. It's going to be a nice day. Let's just shut this down. No, you can know Him. Jesus said in John 17, 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven. He's going to pray, and He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. As You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may what? Know You, the only true God, and the word implies know Jesus Christ, whom You've sent. The Bible says, be still and know that He is God. The word yada in Hebrew, it means to discover Him. God wants to be known by you. Isn't that awesome? Ephesians 1:17, Paul's great prayer for the Ephesians. He says this. This is Paul's prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the what? Knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Notice all these illuminations. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? The old Westminster Shorter Catechism says, asking a question, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. God is knowable. To glorify God and to enjoy Him. That statement has a presupposition that God is knowable. That is true theology. Do you know God? Bible prophecy takes place around us. Jesus said, these things I've told you in advance that when they happen, you will know that I am He. Isn't that awesome? Someone say amen.
Amen.
That's exciting. That is absolutely wonderful. How knowable is our God? Now, I don't know if you're going to really get turned on about this next verse, but it is amazing. Because no other religion on the planet even suggests that their God or gods can hang out with them. Is that the wrong term? I had somebody write me before. Don't use the word hang out. Okay, that there's no other religion or religions who have a God or gods that hang out with them, that just dwell with them, He is to come. He's Him. So listen to this. You say, what are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. And never forget this. How big is your God? How big is the God of the Bible? This big. Watch, Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord walking, hello, in the garden in the cool of the day. Cool of the day, that means like 75 degrees, like Maui. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the what? Presence of the Lord God and among the trees of the garden. Verse 9 says, then the Lord God called to Adam and Eve, or Adam, and said to him, where are you? Hey, now God knew where he was. He's trying to get him to confess. I'm over here naked because I sinned, hiding behind the bush. You got me. I'm busted. I'm sorry. God would have forgiven him. Did you know that? The knucklehead lies. Oh, my wife messed up my life. But did you get that? Don't miss it, because listen, the God of the Bible walked among Adam and Eve in the garden. How big is your God? Listen, he appears numerous times in Scripture. He shows up. He shows up to Joshua. He shows up to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? See, there's other, the gods of the other religions, they can't do that, because if they get too close to man, they get contaminated. When your God is God, he can't get contaminated. Oh, I like this stuff. I am feeling good right now. Second point today is that we are expected to recognize current events. That's a fact. Christians, listen. The 21st century believer is expected by God to recognize current events. Why? Answer this. Is the Bible relevant? Is it current? Yeah. So shouldn't you be? Shouldn't we be? Look, right now your neighbors, I have neighbors too, you have neighbors, they're not happy with what's going on. You know how you know? They're avoiding the issue. I really want to give this second point to you in the sense of using it as a witnessing tool, assuming that we all recognize current events that are taking place around us. It's pretty awesome. Relevance, jot it down. Relevance, we are in touch with God. I really want to be relevant. Then get in touch with God. Know his word. It's no stretch to say that Christians today should be the most effective and yet controversial promoter of what's going on around the world, current events. We know, you guys, we know what's going on. Isn't it amazing? You guys, right now in the news headlines around the world, I guarantee you, no news headline is telling us what's the latest thing in Peru. Did you think of that? The world is on edge right now at this hour. Why? The world is unanimously concerned about what's happening in Syria. You want to know why? Syria is Bible land.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that describes the issues faced by the 21st century Christian. The 21st century Christian, that's the title of what we heard today. It's part of Pastor Jack's timely series that addresses Bible prophecy and what we as believers can expect in today's world. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, Pastor Jack is here to tell us about something exciting happening here in Southern California.
That's right, Davey. We are going to be very blessed here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills this coming Sunday. That's November 10th at our 9:30 and 11:45 services. Those are special hours for us because we are having with us Dr. John Lennox from Oxford, England. Dr. John Lennox is professor of mathematics, a brilliant scientist, and a man who loves God. He has no problem reconciling both faith in God and science. And a lot of people today say that you can't do that. Well, Dr. Lennox does it quite well. And we hope that the fact that he has debated quite successfully people like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and others, that you might come on out and see a wonderful man of God, a tremendous scientist, argue for the defense of the faith and why science and the Bible have the same author, the Lord Jesus. So it's going to be a great time right here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, 9:30 and 11:45. We hope to see you here.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.